BBC News with Marion Marshall. Dozens of Syrian rebels and members of the security forces are reported to have been killed in a major clash in the northern city of Aleppo. The violence began with an enormous explosion. Militants loyal to an Islamist group called the Nusra Front, which has links with Al-Qaeda, say they carried out the attack. Jim Muir reports.
Residents said the blast shook most of Aleppo after rebels set off a large quantity of explosives in a tunnel dug under the area of the much-feared Air Force Intelligence Headquarters. There are conflicting accounts of whether the building itself was damaged or destroyed. It's been a key target for the rebels ever since the battle for Syria's largest city began more than 2 years ago. They've tried many times to capture it. Immediately after the explosion, heavy fighting broke out, with rebel factions bombarding the area and trying to advance, while government forces shelled back and called in airstrikes.
Defence lawyers for the man accused of bombing the Boston Marathon in the United States in 2013 have admitted he was involved, but they said Jochar Tsarnaev was acting under the influence of his older brother, who was killed by police. He's charged with killing three people and wounding more than 200 others at the race. Gary O'Donoghue is in Boston.
Jochar Tsarnaev's attorney, Judy Clark, told the court that the defendant did carry out the bombings, but she will argue that Tamerlan, who died in a shootout with police 3 days after the bombing, was the ringleader. Earlier, the prosecution said Tsarnaev's goal on that day was to kill or maim as many people as possible. In a legal ruling, the defence suffered a setback when the judge said that they would be limited in the extent to which they could make the influence of his elder brother part of the case.
A jury in New York has found a Pakistani man guilty of being part of a failed Al-Qaeda conspiracy to attack the city's underground railway network, as well as other targets in Britain and Denmark. Abin Nasir said he was a moderate Muslim who was falsely accused. This report from Nick Bryant in Manhattan.
Abin Nasir was in charge of an Al-Qaeda cell that was part of a transatlantic conspiracy to repeat the devastation of 9/11. Undercover MI5 officers believe he decided to attack the Arndale shopping centre in Manchester during the Easter holiday in 2009. The key piece of evidence was an email that he'd sent to his Al-Qaeda handler in Pakistan. It talked of plans for a wedding with a woman called Nadia, code words for the attack and the type of bombs that would be used. Found guilty on all three charges. He now faces up to life imprisonment.
The president of Chad, Idriss Déby, has threatened to kill the leader of the Nigerian Islamist group, Boko Haram, if he doesn't give himself up. The Chadian leader said his forces knew where Abubakar Shekau was hiding. Boko Haram has extended its attacks to the neighbouring countries of Chad, Niger and Cameroon. They in turn have joined forces with Nigeria against the militants. World News from the BBC. An investigative committee of the US House of Representatives is expected to subpoena emails from two personal accounts belonging to the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. There are allegations that the accounts were used to conduct official business in contravention of federal law. The committee is investigating the deadly attack on the US consulate in the Libyan city of Benghazi in 2012. A prosecutor in Argentina has appealed against a judge's decision to throw out a controversial case against President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner. She'd been accused of covering up the alleged involvement of senior Iranian officials in a 1994 attack against a Jewish centre in Buenos Aires, which killed 85 people. The prosecutor described last week's ruling as hasty and premature. President Fernandez has always rejected the allegations. Israel says it's doubling the amount of water it supplies to the Gaza Strip. Gaza has a chronic water shortage, leaving tap water undrinkable and forcing the Palestinians to pump huge amounts of untreated sewage into the sea. Israel said it would begin increasing the annual flow from 5 billion to 10 billion cubic metres. Examination of a fossilised jawbone discovered in Ethiopia has led scientists to push early human history back a further 400,000 years. Our science correspondent Palab Ghosh has the details.
There's good fossil evidence for apes with some human traits living in the region around 3 million years ago. There are also the remains of humans in East Africa dating back 2 million years. Just what happened in between is shrouded in mystery. Now, the discovery of a lower jawbone indicates that the first humans may have emerged 2.8 million years ago in Ethiopia. This occurred while the climate in the area had become drier. Forests made way for grassland, creating a new ecological niche for the first of our kind to thrive.
BBC News.